The text we're going to be taking up this morning is found in the 8th chapter of John's Gospel. It is the 12th verse of that chapter 8, John 8, the verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto him, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So we have a very straightforward declaration of unchanging, immutable truth here in front of us. It is a statement of fact. And we want to address this morning. The first thing that we would speak about and on, say a few things at least on this, that the Savior declares of himself, I am the light of the world. What does this comprehend, that Christ is the light of the world? It comprehends a great deal. We are going to just speak briefly on it when we think of what we could preach. When it comes to such a statement, I am the light of the world, must first be understood that Christ himself is light. He is all light. There's no darkness in him at all. 1 John 1, the verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. God is light, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God is light. Christ Jesus then is light. That is, he is perfectly, immutably, eternally righteous, and he is holy, holy, holy. That is comprehended by him being light. God is light. God is light. Christ Jesus is the Son of God, the Word made flesh. Christ Jesus is light, and so he is full of grace and goodness and truth. This, too, is comprehended by him being light. He has all knowledge and is perfect in wisdom. Being God with the Father and Holy Spirit, he is to the origin and source of all knowledge, all wisdom, all truth, all light then. Certainly all spiritual light, but all light that the world has. All truth of any kind, of any sort, but certainly we think of spiritual truth. In our text, the Lord Jesus declares that he is the light of the world. I am the light of the world. How is Christ the light of the world then? Well, certainly mankind, left to itself, descends into utter darkness, spiritual, moral, and eventually intellectual darkness, to the point of utter depravity and stupidity. We too are of mankind. And there, by the grace of God, would have we went, but by the grace of God, I say. But we were fortunate, we were blessed to be in a country which was still savored with the gospel, and there was much light here yet, because of Christ, the light of the world. Prior to the first coming of Christ to redeem his people, the whole world was full of darkness except for that tiny corner of the world. The whole world was full of spiritual and moral darkness. Isaiah 60, the verse 2, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness. That means thick, dark gloom. And so spiritual darkness, moral darkness, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Isaiah 9, the verse 2, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. What was that great light? Who is that great light? It's Christ, the light of the world. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Certainly he came preaching the gospel, the light of the world. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. And he came preaching the gospel and bringing life and immortality to light, full evangelical gospel light. And Christ obeyed for those, of course, for whom he came to save. He made a full atoning satisfaction for them on the cross by his suffering and death. He redeemed the people for God and for glory, having risen from the grave victorious over sin, Satan, death, and the grave. The Lord Jesus ascended to the right hand of God. He then sent the Holy Spirit to dwell within each of those who believe on him, on Christ. He raised up his New Testament church and then began gospel times with the light of the gospel taken out by the faithful church into all the world. By that faithful church, Christ has been the light of the world. He said, I am the light of the world. And then he says, ye are the light of the world to his church. Multitudes have been saved and brought into Christ's kingdom of light, and the world has been transformed by the presence and power of Christ, by the Holy Spirit's effectual work in and through the gospel church, which is a preserving savor in the world. The light of the world, yes, the gospel light of the world, yes, through the preaching of the gospel, but also a preserving savor for those nations in which the gospel church is strong and active and faithful. John 1, verse 9, that was the true light which lighteneth every man that cometh into the world. Think what the world would be now if Christ had never come. And so every man in the world has lightened in some way by Christ, we would say, by that gospel influence, by him through his gospel church and the effect of the gospel all around the world. And he said, I am the light of the world. Christ Jesus is the origin and fountain of all true heavenly spiritual light in each Christian and in the church. As the church's prophet, he gives spiritual saving gospel light and sanctifying spiritual knowledge by the Holy Spirit to his people. To his people, the Holy Spirit, whom he sent. The Holy Spirit working effectually in the hearts of men and women and young people with the scriptures. All without Christ, though, are in spiritual darkness and death. Though they live in a world that has been lightened, if you will, by Christ, the knowledge of Christ in his people, and then going out as the light of the world, and certainly a preserving savor to the world, and yet their hearts are dark, those who are not in Christ. Their hearts are dark. They're in spiritual darkness and death. They don't discern spiritual things. They have not the light of life that Christ does speak of also here. Even though they've been blessed to be in some degree enlightened by the light of the world, Christ and his faithful church. I say, as we think of those who are dwelling in such deep, deep depravity and moral and spiritual darkness, dwelling in a savage way even, as we think of the world as it was, and then through the gospel church, the preaching, missionaries and so forth, the change that has been wrought in the world, because Christ is the light of the world. And yet all men that are not in Christ have hearts that are spiritually dark, and they're under a condemnation of death. They're in spiritual darkness and spiritual death, if you will. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The text speaks of those who have the light of life. And this is opposed, contrasted to those who do not have the light of life. They are those who walk then in darkness. These are the two parties into which all mankind is divided. Those who have the light of life and those who do not, but walk in darkness and death. What is comprehended then by this walking in darkness of which Christ speaks? Here, darkness comprehends spiritual and moral darkness, walking in the way of darkness and death. All those without Christ are children of darkness. Put simply, they are legally dead. They are under condemnation. They are spiritually dead with spiritually dark hearts. They walk in darkness. 1 Thessalonians 5, the verse 5, the apostle by the Holy Spirit speaks to the church, ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness, but those not in Christ are of the night. They are of darkness. They're in darkness. All those yet in their sins and condemnation, all unregenerate men and women and young people are children of darkness, who walk in darkness. They walk in spiritual darkness and they walk in moral darkness. I say moral darkness too, to one extent or another, because even if they are in the main outwardly moral individuals, yet God is not in all their thoughts. They love this world. They don't love God. That is in itself immoral. Their unregenerate nature will always cause them to be drawn toward that which is sinful. And in truth, in their darkened state, they don't even realize the depths of sin in their own hearts. And it has to be said that morality consists of far more, to be blunt, than only outward sexual morality. For instance, any violation, any lack of conformity to or violation of the second table of the moral law, with all that summarily comprehends as sinful and immoral, whether that is in thought, word, or deed. I bring up the second table because that so obviously, even to the unbeliever, it deals with morality. As you look at those commandments, and I say any lack of conformity to what those commandments summarily comprehend or violation of, that's immoral. And yet the unbeliever doesn't even grasp the reach of that law. Paul said he wouldn't have known what lust was, except the law said, thou shalt not covet. And then the Holy Spirit shone the light of truth into his heart as to what that comprehended. Then he saw he wasn't justified by works. He wasn't right with God. He was condemned. Ephesians 4, verse 17 and 18. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them because of the blindness of their heart. This is a true description of all that are not in Christ. All that are not in Christ. To walk in darkness is to walk in the ways of death. Spiritual death. Certainly spiritual death. And in the end, everlasting death of body and soul in hell. It's called death in hell because that existence in no way resembles what we think of as life of any kind. It is such suffering. It is such torment. It is death. That's the only word to describe it, and yet never dying. The way of the unbeliever is the way of darkness and the ways of death in so many different ways. Proverbs 16, verse 25. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That's the end of it. The ways of death. The way of unbelief is the way of darkness. It's the way of death. Those without Christ walk in darkness and in the ways of death in this world. They live under the condemnation of everlasting death in hell as well. And they live in spiritual darkness as spiritually dead men. And when they live long enough, they find that they have been walking in darkness, even if they truly would never admit it, but they experience it more and more then. I say they find that walking in darkness, even in this life, is the way of death. In due time, many things which were life to them in this world, the things that they thought made life worth living, some things were not bad things, wrong things, but it was their everything. They ignored their own soul, and some things were wrong things. Many things were wrong things, even sinful things. But this made their life worth living. They thought their life was full of life and full of light. They found out that all of that would turn to darkness of mind, of soul someday. All that once seemed to be light and life to them, if they don't die young, it's gone. It's all just memories. It's all replaced by a darkness of despair and a grim hanging on to life for the sake of not dying, because they're terrified to die, and they should be, to die without Christ. I thought of Abraham. Genesis 15, verse 12, this instance. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham, and lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. Those that die without Christ have that horror of great darkness, whether they want to admit it or not. When they're by themselves, they experience that. That horror of great darkness that they will be plunged into. Their life has become more dark. Their life has become more dark. Their souls have become more filled with despair. They are now just hanging on to life for the sake of not dying, I say. And laying hold on any little thing that will take their minds off of where they are, because it is all gone. Everything they had, it's just memories. There's so many things they can't even do now if they wanted to. And their youth is gone, their strength is gone, everything is gone. And it's all become darkness. It's all become death because those things have died. And with that, dies their happiness, because it was a happiness only of this world. It was joy only in the things of this world. Ecclesiastes 11, 7 through 9, and the first verse of chapter 12. Truly the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. This is true. I tell you, it's true. It's too bad. Sometimes as people age, they lose that. Just the beauty of it all, and just the light is sweet. It is a pleasant thing for the eyes to behold the sun. You know, youth, they can have so much exuberant life that way, and just, it's all such a wonder. I don't know about youth today, but to me it was all just a wonder, just living. Just, of course, I was a farm boy, so I had an advantage, but then it goes on, but if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, you see, when this is it, when it's just the things of this world, then what happens? Yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. They'll have many days of darkness, those who have not taken Christ as their Savior and had the light of life. The days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and the sight of thine eyes. In other words, if that's the way that youth is determined to go, then go. Then go. Walk in the ways of thine heart, thine own deceitful heart, which is filled with spiritual darkness. Walk in those ways you think are the ways of life, but the end is death. It's the ways of death. And in the sight of thine eyes, whatever seems right in your eyes, whatever you want to do, whatever you desire to do, whatever you want to lay hold on, because this will give your life such joy, such meaning. This will be everything to you. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. And then what? Then what? Those not clothed in the righteousness of Christ, pardoned and cleansed by his blood, what then for them? Everlasting damnation in hell. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Will the evil days come not? Otherwise they will come. They need not come. Not in the sense of we've been talking about. For those that, if they do get old, how everything dies and the darkness closes in. Nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Not any longer, not any longer. So today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Today is the day of grace. Today is the day of salvation for those who will repent and seek the Lord while he may be found. Upon leaving this world, the unsaved, unregenerate, that is, those men and women who die in their sins, enter into outer darkness, as the scriptures call it, of everlasting, always dying, death in hell, receiving the just recompense of their sins and suffering the righteous, infinite wrath of God, which they can never appease with their suffering, the suffering of wicked men and women receiving the just recompense of their sins. So for all eternity, there they are, utterly separated from the goodness of God they received in this world, and all do receive much goodness from God. The goodness of God they received and took for granted. I say all the goodness of the God whom they shunned and treated as a liar in the day of grace. 1 John 5, the verses 10 through 12. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So long as we don't heed the command of the Lord to repent and believe the gospel, we are holding God and certainly the Father and the Son to be a liar. And if that day of grace is past and it's over and we end up standing before Christ, we have to answer for that sin of making God out to be a liar. That should make anyone tremble and shudder. Nothing then for those who rejected Christ in the light of the world except everlasting torment of mind, of soul, of mind, of heart, the entire man, body and soul, suffering in the outer darkness of hell. Matthew 25, verse 30 speaks of it. Cast ye the unprofitable servant and all who die without Christ, of course, into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What sort of darkness is this? It's a darkness which may be felt. Exodus 10, the verse 21 uses this expression. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. It is so deep. It is so overwhelming. It's gross darkness. It's darkness that can be felt. It's a dwelling in darkness. It's a darkness of heart. It's a darkness of soul. It's a literal darkness. And yet with a flame that isn't quenched. And certainly a worm that doesn't die. Certainly that worm of conscience won't die. Oh, if I had only believed on Christ when I had the chance. Now it's too late. All eternity in darkness, in suffering, in death, in the outer darkness of hell. John 3, the verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Those who reject the gospel command and call to repent, believe on Christ, and urgently, diligently seek the Lord to save them, do choose darkness over light. They choose death over life. And unless they turn from their wicked ways in the day of grace and look unto Christ, lay hold on Christ and call upon the Lord for salvation, and never resting until they have that firm, abiding assurance of sins forgiven and everlasting life in Christ, unless they do this, they will most assuredly know. They will know experientially. They will live it, and eternally so, that they have chosen the horror of everlasting outer darkness and the death which describes existence in hell. They have chosen this over light and life. All mankind is either of darkness and death or light and life. We have spoken briefly of those who walk in darkness, the darkness of death. Now we compare that to the light of life which belongs to those in Christ. Those who have the light of life, they have light and they have life. They have the light of life, in fact. It's only because of Christ and through Christ, by grace alone, through faith alone in Christ. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. What is comprehended by this? The light of life. Well, first we would say in the order of things, the light spoken of is the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of life. But we would also just comment, and we should, that here, as the Lord speaks of those who don't walk, shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life, he comprehends there that they won't walk in darkness, they'll have the light of life. He comprehends the fruit and ways of true regeneration with regard to not walking in darkness. That his blood-bought flock, each and every one of his sheep that follow him, won't walk in darkness. They don't walk in darkness any longer. They don't walk in darkness. And so that comprehends both the promise, that is, they who did walk in darkness, the darkness of unbelief, the spiritual darkness of heart, this darkness and this way of death, they don't any longer. They will walk in light. It's because of Christ, because they become new creatures, because the Holy Spirit has shined the light of the gospel into their heart effectually, creating, justifying faith and regenerating them. them that have repented and believed on Christ, believed the gospel promise. But there's also there comprehended a responsibility. That is that they have to take care to faithfully walk always in the light. That is, walk after the Spirit in the ways of truth and righteousness, according to the word of God. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Ephesians 5, the verse 8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Well, we do walk as children of light, yes, but we're to walk in the fullest light that God gives us with his word. We're not to walk in the light sometimes and a little bit in the dark other times, or in shadows and so forth. We're to walk in the light after the Spirit. And so we have a responsibility. If we're in Christ, we do walk in the light, in the sense of we're not walking in the ways of death, we're not under condemnation, and we are not spiritually ignorant any longer and filled with spiritual darkness. We do walk in the light, and yet we must walk in the light, and we are to seek to do so more and more and more. 1 John 1, 6 and 7, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Those that don't walk in the light are lying if they say they have fellowship with him. They're lying to themselves. They may think they do, but they're lying to themselves. They have not the fruit and evidence of their salvation and regeneration. And so they're lying, at the very least, to themselves. They're not doing the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, again, in the ways of righteousness and truth, the way of spiritual light, the way of moral light as well, of course. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Walking in the light. And that also includes walking in the ways of spiritual light, following after the Spirit, of course, and acquiring more and more spiritual light as the Lord gives it, seeking to have more light, making full use of the means of grace, so that it's of us true that is written in Proverbs 4, the verse 18, but the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. This speaks both of his inner man and that growth in spiritual knowledge and wisdom and discernment and love. And it speaks of his way, his way in the world, his walk. It's like a shining path, more and more, unto the perfect day when he's perfected, when Christ returns or he goes to be with Christ. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, shall not walk in darkness. And next follows why and how this is so. And in what the Lord says, there is a great and precious promise of infinite value, but shall have the light of life. What is the light of life? Well, we have already spoken of it somewhat, haven't we? Again, first in the order of things, it is the saving knowledge of Christ Jesus. This precedes everything. The saving knowledge of Christ Jesus. It's because of Christ, by him, and through faith in him, that children of wrath by nature, dead in trespasses and sins, legally dead, condemned to everlasting death in hell, and spiritually dead natural men, unable to discern spiritual things, these walking in darkness and under the shadow of death, they then receive the light of life, the saving, regenerating knowledge of Christ as Savior, and this effectually by the Holy Spirit with the Word. John 12, the verse 46, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Should not abide in darkness any longer, will not abide in darkness any longer. They'll have the light of life. They'll have the light of life. Luke 1, the verse 76 to 79. Again, Zacharias, I know I go there at least lately quite often, but we've been talking about Christ, and here of course, is this prophecy. Zacharias, John the Baptist was born, and it's truly for all of us. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high, Christ hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Peace with God. Peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God, peace of conscience, knowing that our sins have been forgiven. The peace of God which passeth all understanding at all times, quietness of heart, that just resting on Christ, resting on our Heavenly Father at all times, calling upon Him, calling to mind His promises, laying hold on them, trusting in Him at all times to take care of us, to never forsake us, to provide for us, to be our protector, to be our provider, to be our defender, to be all, everything to us. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 through 6, but if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Don't let the devil blind you. The word is preached. Christ, the light of the world. Christ who came to open the eyes of the blind, He'll do it. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. That's what the devil wants, to keep as many, of course, as possible in darkness and in the ways of death. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Then secondly, in the order of things, the light of life comprehends the spiritual life the believer then has, that he lives. The believer has this in Christ. He's no more a natural man, spiritually dead, dwelling in spiritual darkness. Not anymore. Colossians 1, verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. 1 Peter 2, verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. These are no mere words. These are the words of the Lord himself. These are truth. This is truth. Those of us in Christ know it's truth. Because of Christ, by grace, through the gift of faith in Christ, that man or woman is now a spiritual man, discerning spiritual things, receiving spiritual knowledge, increasingly so, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, whom Christ has sent to be not only the inner witness of our salvation and adoption, but to be the true church's teacher. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30, but of him are ye, of God the Father, are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All of that darkness, all of that's gone. He's a spiritual man now. Old things have passed away. Everything's changed. He has a desire for spiritual things. He's been spiritually enlightened. He is more and more so as he makes use of the means of grace. He has light where there was darkness. And someday, if he lives to be old, there won't be this closing in of darkness, the mists of darkness in his heart and in his mind. And that only just a prelude of what's to come in outer darkness forever. There won't be that. He has light. He has light in his heart. There'll always be light in his heart, so long as he is always looking to Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. Ephesians 1, verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. As you well know, that's actually a prayer of Paul for the church then and for us now, that there would be more and more of that is what he was praying. That the eyes of our understanding would be more and more enlightened, and certainly in every way, including this all-important way that we would know more and more what the hope of his calling is and what the riches of his glory, of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, that our hope would be more and more lively and real. We'd have more of the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Psalm 36, verse 9, for with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. We live in the light of the Lord, and we have that light of spiritual life spiritual life in us, more and more light under the perfect day, more and more light in every way, not darkness, light, light. Thirdly, the light of life comprehends the abiding assurance then and peace and joy and comfort which belongs to the regenerated man. Though not all have the same degree of lively assurance and peace with God and joy of the Lord and comfort of the Scriptures. Worldliness, spiritual compromise, neglect of the means of grace, evil communication. All of these things will hinder us from having these promised blessings, this work of God to the extent, the full extent we could and should have them. He promises, light is sown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. Psalm 97, the verse 11. Our text this morning is this. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The light of life. The light of life in this world and forever. Christ has promised it. And he has said, the thief cometh not, but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Psalmist declares, Psalm 18, the verse 28, for thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. He will always be faithful to enlighten our darkness, whatever it might be in this world. And of course, there'll be no darkness in the world to come whatsoever. But he will faithfully light our candle and bring light even in dark times. Pity those in the world. Pity those in the world without Christ, without the light of life. Pity them as they enter into days of darkness, days of sorrow. If they live to be old, when they have no pleasure anymore in the things that they thought was their light and their joy and their life, and they found out it's all just darkness and death now. Darkness and death. I always think of the Israelites. When the Lord worked that darkness, those days of darkness in Egypt. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. All the children of God, no matter how dark the world gets, can have light in their homes and light in their hearts. From the Lord, the Lord. Deuteronomy 30, the verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. The gospel sets before every single person who hears it, darkness and death, or life and light. Choose you this day between that, darkness and death, light and life. There may not be a tomorrow. There is a day of grace according to the mercy of God, but he is under no obligation to extend that day of grace 1 second longer than is his will for his purposes. Ephesians 5, the verse 13 and 14, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. This speaks of the preaching of the Word of God. The preaching of the truth with regard to all that are yet in darkness and death. The preaching of the ways of death, the warning of it. It's made manifest by the light of preaching, by the Holy Spirit. For whatsoever it doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, in light of this then, of what's been preached, of what's been rightfully expounded from the Word of God, of the warning issued, and the grace extended, the grace spoken of, I should say, the gospel preached. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. Sleeping the sleep of the dead, the spiritually dead. Soon to be everlastingly dead in hell. And Christ shall give thee light. The light of life. The light of life. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. We close with this for the people who are the Lord's people and have the light of life. This from the Lord. Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Those who have the light of life live in the light of the Lord. Amen.